Well, we left off last time with the threefold division of the book of Revelation, the broad outline from Revelation chapter 1 in verse 19. Write the things which you have seen, that's Revelation chapter 1. The things which are, that's Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the churches. And the things which will take place after this, and that is Revelation chapters 4 through 22, those things yet future. Revelation chapter 1 in verse 20 reads, "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." So again, we have more examples of the book of Revelation being self-interpreting. The seven stars being the angels or the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands being the seven churches themselves. And this is a reference to the seven churches of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. These churches are listed in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11 as follows: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. As we continue, we're going to be discussing these seven churches using the following framework. First, these are actual historic churches that existed in that day, the day that the Apostle John was putting pen to paper in AD 95. Secondly, we're going to address the prevailing conditions in those actual historic churches. Third, the way in which the prevailing conditions of these churches form an outline of church history. So we're going to look at them as a chronological outline of all of church history. Now, to be fair, the scriptures don't define them in exactly that way, but many have seen this in the progression of history, and there's a lot to it. Fourth, we're going to be looking at these seven churches in the book of Revelation, and we're going to see how they share the characteristics of actual churches today. And finally, how these churches are characteristic of individual believers, not only of that day, but also today. Now, at this point, we're at section 6 in our Revelation Bible study outline, page 4 of the outline, and we have come to a self-test. So let's take the self-test. I'm going to ask the question. I'll give you a minute to blurt out the answer, and then I'm going to give you the answer, and you can see if you got it right. Self-test. Reinforcing what you have learned so far in the introduction, in the teaching, in Revelation chapter 1. A. What are the two general categories of Bible prophecy? They are forthtelling and foretelling. Forthtelling is thus God said. Foretelling is God telling of a specific event that will happen in the future. B. Which scriptures forbid setting a date for the end time? We have the answer in 2C1 of our outline. Matthew chapter 24 in verse 36 and Acts chapter 1 in verse 7. So we see that even Jesus himself spoke of this and warned us with regard to date setting. C. Genesis is paradise lost. Revelation is paradise restored or regained. D. Which chapter in Matthew correlates the most with the book of Revelation in that it has much teaching by Jesus about the end times? That would be Matthew chapter 24, which is part of what is more commonly known of as the Olivet Discourse, thus called because Jesus preached this sermon at the Mount of Olives. E. Who wrote Revelation, and approximately what year did he write it? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us that John wrote Revelation, and this is John the Apostle, and he wrote the book of Revelation approximately 95 AD. F. What attributes of Jesus Christ are emphasized in Revelation chapter 1? Well, there are many. First and foremost, I would argue his deity, also his eternality, his faithfulness, his truth, and even his wrath. G. What are the seven spirits? The seven spirits are first referenced in Revelation chapter 1 verse 4, and these are the seven spirits before his throne. And in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 1 we read, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God. And so, the seven spirits are something that Christ has. Any reader of the book of Revelation who was well familiar with the Old Testament in that day would have known that the seven spirits of Messiah are those which are found in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and of course, the spirit of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2 gives us that answer. You see, it's amazing how Scripture interprets itself in many, many ways and almost all the time. H. What are the seven stars? We opened this section with the identity of the seven stars. Revelation chapter 1 verse 20 we read, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. I. What are the seven lampstands? Again, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that the seven lampstands are the seven churches. J. Describe two things about the appearance of the glorified Christ. Well, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 and following, we read that he was clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So we only asked for two things, but we've got several more than that. K. How and where will Jesus return in his second coming? Well, we know that the Lord will return on the clouds from Acts chapter 1, and we know from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 34 and Isaiah chapter 63, that the place of Christ's return will be Bozrah in Edom, not the Mount of Olives as it is commonly taught, although Jesus will in fact return to the Mount of Olives when he does his victory lap, as it were. I. True or false, an understanding of the Old Testament prophets is essential to a proper deep understanding of Revelation. That is absolutely true, my friends. Revelation is written in very large part against the backdrop of Old Testament prophecy as a whole. M, and this is our 13th and final question in our self-test. What are two Old Testament books that have many cross-references with the book of Revelation? Well, we pointed out two in particular, Daniel and Isaiah. But if you said Psalms or you said Zechariah, you would have been right on the money as well. Continuing through the book of Revelation, we're going to be picking up in Revelation chapter 2 in verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write. So now we're at point 7 on our outline. Ephesus, the church that lost its first love. Now let's take a look at a little bit about the city of Ephesus and its history. Ephesus was located on the Aegean Sea in Asia Minor. That's in modern-day Turkey. And since its founding, about 1,000 years before Christ, Ephesus had been devoted to fertility goddess worship. Specifically, in the New Testament days, Ephesus was devoted to Artemis or Diana worship. And we have a cross-reference for this in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 in verse 35, where we read, "And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, 'Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus?'" The temple of Artemis, or Diana, of the Ephesians was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Its dimensions were 163 by 342 by 60 feet. The Apostle Paul was instrumental in the founding of the church there. Late in his second missionary journey. And we find a record of this in Acts chapter 18 verses 19 and 20. Where we read that he came to Ephesus. And he left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. Well, Paul returned there on his third missionary journey, and he spent well over 2 years in Ephesus at that time. And we read about this in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Timothy became the leading teaching elder in Ephesus, a role delegated to him by Paul the Apostle, the mentor of young pastor Timothy. And we find this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 3. "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. According to tradition, John the Apostle served as overseer of all seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, based in Ephesus. One tradition is that he returned there from Patmos, and that he died there. And there is a tomb which is identified as his to this day. But the evidence for this is spurious. The description of this church fits the historical era from 30 AD to 100 AD. And the characteristics of the things that went on are such that they fit the mold of the apostolic era."